is marvelous. He is.
Jesus is wonderful. He is marvelous. He is.
I'm not on key? Thank you. Sisters and brothers, indeed, Jesus is marvelous. Indeed, it is the reason for which we are here. Jesus is just that good. Jesus is marvelous to you and me, better than we are could be to ourselves. And so on this Christ the King Sunday, we indeed come to give God honor and praise and to recognize his goodness and his marvelousness. For indeed, Christ loves us so. There is no place we can go. There's no mountain we can climb. There's no valley we can go into. There is no location we can go far and distant. And there's no location so near that Christ is not already there for you and me. Indeed, Jesus is marvelous. This morning, as we come to the word that Christ has placed on my heart for you and for me, the title that I want you to just bear with me for just for a little while, is on deceiving looks. Deceiving looks. To say that something can be very different from how it seems to appear to be would be describing deceiving looks. You know that restaurant that doesn't look all that great? You walk by it and you peer in the window and you're like, I don't know that I want to be eating in there. It just don't look right to me. But that's the very place when you go in and sit down and you have a meal. You walk out there going, my, that was the best meal I ever had. Because looks can be very deceiving. There's a man by the name of Moses, who we all know was reared up under Egyptian rule, and we know that he was a strong, virile man, and that he was really a great guy. And yet what we don't realize, looks can also be deceiving. For when God calls him and says, I want you to go to Egypt land, Moses will say to him, I'm slow of speech. I'm slow of tongue. You wouldn't imagine by his looks that he had a speech impediment, that he could not speak as well as he had wanted to speak. And there is Brother David. Brother David, who would get a slingshot and some rocks. He was very small in stature. Looks can be deceiving, but when he went up against old Goliath, and he pulled back his slingshot, down would go Goliath. His looks were deceiving. And most of the apostles that we think about, that we talk about, Luke and Matthew, Mark and John, and we talk about the apostles, many of them were just simple men. They were nothing special. Matter of fact, many of them were not even educated men. And yet because of the Christ that was inside of them, yet because of Jesus that had taught them and had been their teacher, they would stand up in the midst of trials and tribulations, and they would be profound men that we yet talk about today. One of my idols is a Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. And I remember when they tell the story about how King would get called. You know, he wasn't some great guy that everybody knew. He wasn't somebody who people had talked about and placed on a pedestal. He was not some president of some organization. He was just a lowly pastor in a small Baptist church. And he was only, by the way, which I couldn't believe when I discovered it, he was only 5'7". Wasn't a tall man. But when God calls him through those who had possessed him to come and to lead this movement, or we would come to know his name loud and proud. And then there's this woman that I read about. Her name is Isabella, quote, Bella Bumfree, B-A-U-M-F-R-E-E. Now, you may not know her by that name, because I didn't know her by that name either. But here's what I do know. I do know that Sojourner Truth is the woman I'm talking about. small in stature. And if you see any pictures of her, she just looks like a normal person who is just sitting without a needle and thread. But here she was, a powerful voice for freedom and justice. Here she was, in her looks as a woman, she wasn't even received very highly, but yet she would go on to make 5 or 6 claimed speeches. One of her most famous ones was entitled, "I Am a Woman." Looks can be deceiving. They can be very deceiving. Let me tell you this little short one. There's a story about a truck driver. And he was driving down the road and he came to a low bridge. And he didn't realize that he'd hit the bridge. And he came in and got his truck stuck in the bridge. And so what do? They call in all the engineers. They call in all the wise people of the day. And they're all standing around trying to figure out, how are we going to get this truck from underneath this bridge? Don't know what to do. They're standing there. The engineer who built the bridge didn't know what to do. The folks who were standing around it didn't know what to do. And they're all standing there. But it just so happens on this day, have mercy, Jesus, that the engineer who came brought his 4-year-old son. And his 4-year-old son looked up and said, "Let the tires out. Let the air out the tires." That's all it took. This little 4-year-old boy could say to his dad, let the air out the tires, and they were able to get the truck out. Looks can be deceiving. A small child shall lead them. Looks can be deceiving. Indeed, that is what happens when Jesus is brought before Pilate. You see, by the time Jesus is brought before Pilate at this point, he's already been in front of Pilate one time before. And at that time, he's brought before Pilate, and he speaks, and the guards around him gets mad at what Jesus says, and they take and they hit him across the face. So he's already bruised at this point. And by the time he comes to Pilate this second time, when Pilate has summoned him at this text, he's standing before Pilate as a bruised man. I can imagine that either a gash or some wound had begun to protrude, because it wasn't a light tap. It wasn't a love tap, Kira. It was a smackdown. And so here he is standing before Pilate, and Pilate asked him this very question. Are you a king? Are you a king? Because as he looked at Jesus, standing there with no royal robe on, he's standing there with no crown on his head. He's standing there with no arsenal of people around him. He's standing there all alone. And yet he's been claimed by the people of Israel, by those who fear him. They have called him the King of the Jews. And yet here he stands in none of the ornate nature that would be common for a king. He didn't have all of the jewels that might be on his hand. There was nobody walking around pulling his robe and holding him up. There was nothing going on that indicated that he was somebody special. And yet there is Pilate saying, are you the King of the Jews? And Jesus says, are you saying it because that's what you know? Or are you saying it because that's what somebody told you? In essence, his looks again do not point out to who he is and who he was. And Pilate is trying to figure out who this man is. Why is he so troubling to those who have come and brought him before me? Why am I faced with this, what seemingly is an ordinary man to me? He doesn't look like anything special. He just looks like somebody y'all brought up. So why did you bring him to me? We don't look like, I don't look like anything special. You may not look like anything special. But looks can be deceiving for those of us who love the Lord. Looks can be deceiving for those of us who claim a God that loves us no matter who we are, and no matter what we've done, no matter where we've been, no matter what has happened in our journey. Looks can be deceiving when we look at an individual. We got to be very careful about what we say and what we see. Because just because I look at you, I don't know your heart. I don't know your spirit. I don't know the troubles and trials you've been through. I don't know the valleys that you've gone into and had to pull your way out. I don't know the times you've been on the mountaintop of goodness and fallen down into the depths of despair. I don't know the times you've cried in the closet sometimes. I don't know the pain you've been through. But when I look at you, I ought to see what Pilate should have seen. I ought to see the Son of Man. I ought to see Jesus in you. I ought to see Jesus in you at every moment, at every time, in any place, and anywhere. Because again, how you look does not tell me who you are. Doesn't tell me where you've been. You know, I told you last week about those family discussions you have around the holiday table. And sometimes those conversations that you have, well, when you're having a conversation with family, you get a little tense. Sometimes those conversations around the table, you just don't get it, because you have that one family member or two that somehow don't get it. So that would happen to Barbara and I and Justine the other day. Matter of fact, yesterday, as we were sitting around talking to one of our relatives, and we got into this discussion about folks who might be homeless and how this relative of ours could take a look at someone and say, I don't understand why they're homeless. I don't understand why this happens and why that. All he does is look, and that is his determination. I don't know your story, Barbara. I don't know what you've been through, the jobs you've lost, the times that you've tried to make it through. I don't know those stories about how when you went to school, you weren't able to complete school because you had to go work to support your family. I don't know that maybe there's been some mental illness that has held you down. I don't know those things, but I can look at you as a person on the street and then say, why don't you have a job? Looks can be deceiving. You cannot look at somebody and tell their story. Jesus is reminding us that you can't look at me and tell me who I am. Instead, I challenge you to look at God and ask God to tell you who I am. Claim God in the midnight hour. Claim him, because looks can be very deceiving. What you see is not what you get. You know the old saying, you can't judge a book by its cover? Well, you certainly can't judge me by looking at me, just as I cannot judge you by looking at you. No matter what you have been through, no matter how dark and deep the valleys have been, whether you are gay, straight, transgender, whether you're black, white, Hispanic, Korean, whether you are tall, short, whether you're fat or thin, I can't judge you by looking at you. I can only judge you, Maria, by walking up to you and saying, hello, my name is Michael. How are you doing today? How are you doing? You're doing fine? It's good to meet you. It's good to meet you. You know, you seem like a nice lady. You know that? And by the way, I want you to know, at your house, sister, you can cook. I can tell you that. That's how you know somebody. You walk up to them and you talk to them. You shake hands with them. You get to know them. In this particular story, Pilate is separating himself from Jesus. I wonder, as a writer put it, I wonder if they had met in a different circumstance. If they'd met in a different circumstance, if Jesus and Pilate could have had a decent conversation, if it could have been them sitting in a room by themselves, I wonder if Pilate could have just put away this piety that he had in a dark room instead of being in front of all of his people, if he could have had a conversation with Jesus where he would have come to know who the Son of Man was. Sometimes we can't see, because we're surrounded by all of the stuff around us that controls us, that holds us. Sometimes we look at folks in the wrong way because we won't stand up to the conversation, to the rhetoric. Sometimes we allow that sense of doubt of who someone can be and can't be because we won't stand up for them and say anything. So obviously, as you know what happened in this conversation at our house, me and the relative and Barbara and the relative, we went around about two or three times. Why? Because we cannot let you say those things when you don't know the truth and when you don't know the people, when you don't know what has transpired. There's a call for you and me to say, don't look at someone and start judging them before you ever know them. Don't look at somebody and start doubting who they are when you've never had a conversation with them. Don't look at somebody and say they're this or they're that, and you don't even know their story. Pilate does not ask Jesus his story. He simply asks Jesus, are you a king? Why? Because I'm a king, and there can only be one king. That's all he wanted to know. He didn't want to know Jesus' story. He didn't want to know who Jesus was or where Jesus had been. He didn't want to know what Jesus had done already. All he wanted to know was one thing. Was your kingship going to threaten my kingship? If you ain't a threat to me, I'm good. And that's indeed what he does. He goes back. If you read the text further, he goes back and says to those, well, you know, he's done nothing to me. Although he does have him flogged, and that wasn't very nice. Folks, in the days and times you and I live, there is so much isms going around. We have got to be different as believers in Christ. We have got to stop doubting before we see. We've got to stretch our hands out and get to know someone for who they really are. And then, even if we have an issue with who they are or where they've been, you are to turn to the next thing that's best. You are to pray for your own discernment about what it is that you doubt, or what it is you're afraid of, or what it is you fear. Because every human being, listen to me, every human being is a child of God. Every human being is a child of God. And every human being deserves to be loved as a child of God. And every human being deserves to be fed and nurtured and cared for as a child of God. So I know we just finished eating the big Thanksgiving dinners and meals, and some of us may still be celebrating today. I challenge myself, and I challenge you, that we will not look at another and create our own sense of opinion, our own sense of questioning, but rather we will look at everyone as the blessed child of God who they are. Because looks only can be very deceiving.